This is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Ashley Docking. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday. We're live from the Fantasy Sports Network in Toronto. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Jake Seeley from Roto Experts joins us, and we're going to have a little fun with Jake playing some fill in the blanks. We're going to find out who the NFL's Kim Kardashian is, if he even knows who Kim Kardashian is. We're going to talk about coaches that are potentially at risk of losing their jobs, among other things. So that's going to be something to stick around for. And then Coach Dennis Esser from CoachEsser.com is going to talk to us about some interesting running back situations, as well as some waiver wire wide receivers. Man, I was not sure I was going to get through that one. Waiver wire wide receivers. He's going to come on and talk to us about that in just a little bit. But first, we got to recap Monday Night Football. The Vikings taking care of the Giants 24-10, and Minnesota now one of two teams that sit at 4-0. We can't forget about the Philadelphia Eagles, but technically they're 3-0, although still perfect. They're coming off a bye week this week. But if you just think about what the Vikings have been able to do over the first 4 weeks of the season, it's pretty miraculous. They not only came in and took care of three starters who have made Super Bowl appearances, talking about Aaron Rodgers, won a Super Bowl MVP, Cam Newton, and then Eli Manning won two Super Bowls, and they made light work of him. Manning wasn't even able to muster a touchdown. And in the fashion the Vikings have done it, it's been so impressive. They lost Teddy Bridgewater. Fine. Sean Hill came in. He took care of business. They lost Adrian Peterson. Fine. Asiata and Jerick McKinnon were able to come in and at least fill the hole. But really, the story has been their defense, and someone who felt the effects of that to the fullest extent was Odell Beckham Jr. last night. Three receptions for 23 yards, a career low, and he was very frustrated. This is some behavior that Odell Beckham Jr. exhibited last year. We saw his run-in with Josh Norman, but it seems to be more and more consistent this season as he gets frustrated. Xavier Rhodes this time was the one to really get in his kitchen and fire him up. And it seems as though Odell Beckham Jr., once he's riled up, he can't get back on track, and he needs to take more responsibility for this. We're actually going to talk to Jake Seeley a little bit about Odell Beckham Jr.'s attitude and when we think he's going to be able to mature a little bit and kind of takes the steps he needs to just put himself in check when the game gets a little bit heated. And we're talking about the things that the Vikings have done that have been so impressive. Well, they've been able to do it the last two games without really Stephon Diggs being a factor. He was 5 of 7 for 47 yards this week against the Giants. Last week for Carolina, he had 40 receiving yards after 285 receiving yards the first 2 weeks. So this team just keeps getting it done, and Kyle Rudolph is one of those people that you can attribute their success to. Three touchdowns in all of Sam Bradford's starts. So it's tough to bet against the Vikings at this point, but one group of people that you might be able to bet against is the Giants backfield. You're talking about Bobby Rainey, Orleans Darkwa, Paul Perkins, and Rashad Jennings. Jennings missed yet another game with his sprained left thumb. There's no timetable for his return. It was Darkwa who's had touchdowns in back-to-back games. But then you look at the targets, and it's Rainey who's the targets leader. He caught 7 of 9 targets in their game against the Vikings. And then Paul Perkins, well, he broke for the longest run of the day, 67-yard catch and run. So this is definitely a situation that you want to avoid if you must get involved in it. However, this is what the snap count looked like on Monday night. Rainey led the way with 30, Darkwa close behind at 23, and Perkins sitting at 15. So to each their own. I'm just here to provide you with the information, but it's not something that I want to be a part of. We're going to talk about Tevin Coleman quickly. 310 yards on the season, total yards, as well as 4 touchdowns, but now he might not be playing in the Falcons' Week 5 matchup against the Denver Broncos in Denver. So Tevin Coleman has sickle cell traits, it's a red blood cell condition, excuse me. So it has adverse health effects to those who are under extreme pressure, who are exerting themselves a lot in extreme heat or at a high altitude. So someone like Ryan Clark lost a spleen and a gallbladder after playing a game in Denver, and he's someone that had sickle cell traits. But then there's someone like Geno Atkins who did not have any adverse effects. Tevin Coleman said he's never been in Denver. He's never been to a place with a high altitude. So he's going to do some research, talk to his coaches, and potentially be on a snap count. And the medical staff is going to be very, very careful with him going into Denver. So if he's someone on your roster, even if he is playing, he might be someone to consider sitting this week. Justin Forsett was sat last week, and Terrence West came in and wreaked havoc. He had a great week in his opportunity before Kenneth Dixon showed up. Now, the Ravens and Forsett have mutually parted ways. And I mean, everyone always says that when there's a breakup. I'm sure everyone at home's had that situation, but there is always someone who pulls the trigger. And in this instance, my gut feeling is that it's the Baltimore Ravens. With Kenneth Dixon coming back, it seems as though Buck Allen's receptions, that might eat into that. But Terrence West looks like he's still gonna be the starter regardless of Dixon's return. Ryan Matthews is returning to the Eagles, and he's gonna be on a little bit of a snap count. They're gonna be concerned with him and his ankle, just take it day by day, snap by snap. And then Zach Ertz, he had a displaced rib, and it was one of the top ribs up here, which was a big health concern, but he apparently is on track to make it back for week five. MRI was clear. So Zach Ertz playing the Lions. The Lions have given up 6 touchdowns to tight ends so far this season. Some food for thought. And then Doug Martin, it's looking like he's likely to sit out through the week 6 bye. Charles Sims has been manageable, 124 yards against the Rams, but was absolutely shut down by the Denver defense, although that's not really on him. Denver is one of the top defenses in the entire league. 1-3, there's really nothing to lose for Tampa, making sure that their top guy in Doug Martin is at full health before he comes back. Speaking of coming back, we'll be back on the other side of this break with Coach Esser. He's going to talk to us about some running back situations. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're glad you could stick around with us, and it's a good thing you did, because Coach Dennis Esser from CoachEsser.com is here to make sense of some of these running back by committee situations that we've become so used to this season, especially with the rash of injuries early on in the year. Coach, how's it going today?
It's going great, you know, trying to get used to what's going on in the NFL right now with all the injuries and all the tough spots you're in to try and pick up players.
It seems like a lot of people have been painted into a corner, that's for sure, and maybe a little bit more now because we just got news that Justin Forsett and the Baltimore Ravens have mutually parted ways, for whatever that's worth. But now it looks like it's Terrence West, Kenneth Dixon's making his debut, and then you have Buck Allen, the pass-catching opportunity back for them. But what do you make of this whole situation? Who do you like, or are you trying to stay away from all these pieces?
You know, I really like Dixon. I like him as a pass catcher. I think Baltimore's defense is struggling a little bit. I think as the year goes on, they're going to be in situations where they're going to need Dixon's playmaking ability out of the backfield. And I think they were just waiting for him to get healthy so they can, you know, jettison Forsett. I mean, him being in a healthy scratch this week was all you needed to go and grab Dixon off the waiver wire.
So you don't. What do you think about Terrence West? Because he had a great game, but do you think that was kind of a flash in the pan? Excuse me, because it was a good matchup for him against Oakland.
I think he's been okay. I think game flow might be against him because he's more of a standard league running back. He's going to need a lot of opportunities to be able to put up the points that he did this week. I think he looked great. I just don't think Baltimore is going to be in a position where he's going to have a huge impact in PPR leagues or in leagues where you need somebody to make a big play. He's not a guy who's going to take it 80 yards.
No.
So I'd rather take a shot at Dixon, especially in PPR leagues.
Oh, absolutely. I think that everyone here agrees on that as well. Let's go towards the New York Jets then, because Matt Forte apparently got x-rays on his knee after their game, but then their coach Todd Bowles said he didn't get x-rays. I don't know anything about that. Maybe he was just playing dumb. Maybe he was just playing the media. We'll find out on Wednesday when the injury reports come out. But either way, whether or not Forte is healthy or not, Bilal Powell seems to just not be able to. He won't go away. He just keeps getting these reps. What do you think about him?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the game flow with the Jets. If you look at the Jets and they're underdogs, or you think they're going to lose the game, Bilal Powell is a really good play in PPR leagues. He's getting a lot of opportunities. I think the Jets don't want to overwork Forte in games when they're behind. And also, you know, they're throwing the ball way too much. I think it's one of those situations where you might want to look at the beat writers and what's coming out of Jets camp as far as, are they going to start running the ball? Are they going to start giving Forte a little bit more work to try and take it off of Fitzpatrick, because Fitzpatrick has been really bad the last few weeks?
Yeah, and it's interesting, the split count. So against Seattle, Powell had 37 snaps and Forte 34 snaps. So although there was only four rush attempts for Powell, he still had those receptions for 54 yards. So I agree with you in the PPR assessment. Powell becomes an interesting little play there. You know, Jamaal Charles, he's been a thorn in the side of fantasy owners all season, and he made his return this week, or last week now, I guess. He just saw 10 snaps, but there's a bye this week for the Chiefs, and then he's expected to come back in full pretty much. Is this concerning for Spencer Ware owners, or do you think they're going to grandfather him in?
No, you know, Spencer Ware had a big chance to really take a huge chunk away from Jamaal Charles as far as workload, but three fumbles in 3 weeks is really tough to deal with. I think Ware is very talented as a back, but I think Charles, after the bye, is going to start eating into that usage level. I still think Ware is going to get some usage, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere near a running back two once Charles starts to get going and shows he's healthy. I think the fumbling is a big issue right there. Kansas City's defense also looked pretty porous this week against Pittsburgh. So Charles, when healthy, is one of the best pass catching backs ever. So,
yeah, where even though three of his four performances, he's had 95 or more total yards, those three fumbles are really hard to overlook. And Jamaal Charles, his schedule coming up when he comes back, Raiders, Saints, Colts, Jags.
Oh, I can't wait.
Appetizing.
I can't wait for DFS purposes.
It might be high ownership on that one. Mark, let's talk about Mark Ingram. He's on pace for over 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns this season, over 100 total yards in a touchdown in each of his last 2 weeks. Although that's the projection for him, do you see him reaching that mark? Because the Saints, although their offense has always been something that they can rely on, their defense isn't been able to get them through those close games this season.
Yeah, the defense is really struggling. I mean, they are so bad. No matter what defensive coordinator they have, they just don't have the bodies. I mean, this year they go out and they draft a first round defensive tackle. He gets injured before the season even starts. Their big pass rusher they drafted, he ends up getting injured again with a knee injury. They're just really like have some bad issues with their defense. So it's a situation where if I can trade Ingram now, coming off of two touchdowns, and get some value with a team, you know, maybe that's going to have better game flow, like a CJ Anderson. You know, if you can do a 2-for-2 while Ingram has this value, go ahead. I mean, we look at Kuhn already getting involved in goal line carries, you know, throwing it to him at the goal line. Kadett is used in the passing game a ton. So I think Mark Ingram is a guy, trade him now before the season gets away from you.
Yeah, where I was going with that was their defense is so bad. Technically, the game script means they're going to have to be airing it out to Cooks and Sneed. So, Ingram, I agree with you. He might be a potential sell candidate. Let's hit the waiver wire for receivers now. We're going to talk about Eddie Royal. The best line, probably the nicest ring to it of the week. 7 of 7 for 111. He also added a touchdown against the Lions. With Kevin White potentially on the shelf with an ankle injury, is there some real value in Royal?
There is. Kevin White had a ton of targets the last 2 weeks. He had 23 targets over the last 2 weeks, and he was playing the right side of the offense. Rich Rebar of Roto-World had some great stats that Hoyer is just throwing to the right side and not the left for some reason, and it's really scaring Alshon Jeffrey owners. So I think Royal is in a good spot. I mean, 7 targets for 7 receptions and 111 yards is going to be difficult to top. But I mean, if you're in a deep PPR league, he might be a decent option in a wide receiver 3, because that Chicago defense is not very good. So they're going to be throwing the ball a lot.
For me, Eddie Royal is someone to target if you look down your roster and you just see a lot of similar bye weeks and you're going to be in a jam, because before this game, Royal had never had more than 60 yards receiving And since his last regular season game in 2014, that was the last time he reached that mark. So I don't think that this is going to be something that we're going to see all the time.
No. Hopefully you get some punt yardage, you know, in return yardage leagues.
Exactly. Got to get those special teams yards. Okay, let's talk Tajae Sharpe then. Top 30 targeted wide receiver in the league. Kendall Wright returns, but there's a lot of people saying that Wright, man, just name value alone, fantasy-wise, his ship has kind of sailed. Do you agree with this assessment?
I do. I think Kendall Wright had every opportunity the last couple of years to, you know, really run with that offense. And I don't think that Tennessee has any, you know, expected value as far as Kendall Wright going forward. I think Tajae Sharpe is gaining a lot of targets. I think there's some positive regression coming for him. Mariota's been really bad the last 2 weeks. He's been really inaccurate. I actually reached out to Matt Harmon to find out if Sharpe is running good routes, because, you know, there has to be a reason why his percentage of making catches on these targets is going down. You know, the route's bad. Is he not winning? What's going on? So I think that's something to look forward to. You know, make sure you check Matt Harmon's timeline on Twitter and see if he answers or if he takes a look at what's going on with Sharpe and Mariota going forward.
Oh, I was like, you're leaving us in suspense. What did he say?
I'm waiting. I literally reached out right before I came on the air because, you know, from me watching it, I can tell that he's running pretty good routes, but I want to make sure that he's running the right routes. You know, what does Matt think? What do a couple other guys think that really look at your position a little closer than I normally do?
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that then, and we'll look forward to your retweet and then subsequent breakdown of that information and what it means fantasy-wise. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Bye. All right, Coach Esser always got the goods, you guys. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter and check out CoachEsser.com. Coming up next on FST, Jake Seeley fills in the blanks. It could get interesting, probably more so. It's going to get awkward. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for joining us. It's our last segment of the day. Save the best for last kind of vibe, though, because Jake Seeley from Roto Experts joins us now, and we're going to fill in the blanks. Hi, Jake.
Hey, fair warning, if you have kids, you might want to send them away.
Oh, my gosh. I warned people before the break that it was going to get interesting, most likely awkward. Let's start with this one. Percent chance that things get awkward during this segment is...
Oh, 100%. Not even a question. There's no variance for like any type of situation where it's not going to happen. I think it already did.
I know. Really? I think so, too. Okay, let's get right into it then. The very first one is kind of interesting. I would trade Le'Veon Bell for blank.
Crap load of options. I don't have one word because I wouldn't trade him for one player. Okay. I'm looking at Le'Veon Bell and I say maybe his teammate Antonio Brown if you're talking about PPR. So it depends on if you're running back or wide receiver needy. But if you really want to get technical and break it down, the only running backs that are in the realm of Le'Veon Bell are Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson. Even then, I probably want a little bit back because you have questions of Ezekiel Elliott and his team, whether or not he's going to see the work every single week with Dak Prescott. You hope Tony Romo comes back and helps him by opening up the passing game. David Johnson, his usage hasn't been as consistent as we really want him to be. And Chris Johnson got hurt, so maybe that helps him a little bit. But Le'Veon Bell is by far and away has always been the best running back, best points per game. So if I'm getting anything back from it, it's not going to be one player. It's going to be a U-haul of picks that really helps my team. Like I get a running back and a wide receiver or two. So I can't give you one name. I've already ruined fill in the blank for you.
Okay, well, what about this? Because in our office yesterday, we were trying to facilitate a trade and someone was looking to snag Le'Veon Bell from a player in their league. Both of them are in our office. And we suggested, it's a standard league, by the way. We're like, how about you offer Mike Evans as well as Melvin Gordon for Le'Veon Bell?
I would be tempted to take that. Melvin Gordon scoring touchdowns even on the bad weeks. And if you need wide receiver help, Mike Evans deserves to still be in the wide receiver one. You're going to get bad Jameis Winston every couple weeks, as we saw last week. But even in a bad game, Mike Evans still gives you 5, 6, 7 points, even in a standard league. So I could do that if I needed the help. Obviously, you always want the best player in Le'Veon Bell, but that's actually a pretty good return. That's something I would need to have. You're getting an RB1 and a wide receiver one.
Thank you. I crafted that trade myself. I appreciate
well
that. Okay, next one. I won't start Todd Gurley when?
If I can ever prevent it.
Okay.
You missed your opportunity to sell. We all said that heading into week 3, that was the best opportunity. If you didn't, you're going to be in a tough shape now, but I would still try to sell. If I could avoid it, I don't want to ever start him the rest of the way, because you have to start him. If you have Todd Gurley on your team, the question is, like, wanting to. It's the fact that you have to. You can't ever bench Todd Gurley. You don't bench a talent like him. So now you're forced putting Todd Gurley into your lineup every single week, even though if you see bad matchups, you know he's probably going to get 4 or 5 points for you because of the team, because of the offense, because of just the situation he's in. They don't want to use him in the passing game for some reason. I don't understand it. I can't tell you why. Everybody sees it, and it just won't happen. So that being said, I would just, even if you're getting 80 cents on the dollar, I would probably trade him right now just so you don't have to deal with this question.
The anxiety that comes along with being a Todd Gurley owner. But I guess for me, I can live with it if he's rushing for, I don't know, 50, 60 yards a game, but he's getting the reception volume that he did last week. That's something that you can manage, especially in PPR.
That would be much nicer, but they haven't shown us to believe that's going to continue at this point. They keep rolling Benny Cunningham out there in the passing game, even though Todd Gurley is their best option. I will agree with you in that facet. If it comes out this week and he sees the same workload, okay, because now he can do like Le'Veon Bell and get you 100 combined yards, even if he doesn't find the end zone. So if they're starting to use him that way, I'll feel a lot better.
All right, deal. What about this? Odell Beckham Jr. will get it together by blank.
By kickoff this week, you're looking at the Packers. Weeks 2 and 3 got torched by Stephon Diggs and Marvin Jones. This is the week that everything gets on track for the Giants, Eli Manning included. Eli Manning had 300-yard games to start the year. He hadn't had the touchdowns that were coming with it, so I already liked him as a buy low. The Vikings defense is for real, folks. I had people ask me to say, oh, are they matchup proof? You already shut down Aaron Rodgers. You already shut down Cam Newton. What did you really think Eli Manning was going to do in this game? So the Vikings defense, I'm not taking anything out of this game and saying, oh, no, let's panic about Odell Beckham. Let's worry because he's having his headache case off the side of the field. And like everybody knows to target him in that fashion. He does need to get himself in check, but he's still a supreme talent. And in this matchup with the Packers, this is where everybody gets back on track and everybody's starting to smile again as Odell Beckham owners.
He is obviously a top talent, but one person can agitate him that much and he can't use it to motivate him to make them pay on the field, that's going to be a problem for him going forward.
It is, and I don't like what he said after the game, where he said, I know that the league's watching me. How about get my crap together and get my head on straight?
I like that. I like your rage. You should be on Gabe's show this week with that level of anger. Okay, let's move on to our next one. The Kim Kardashian of the NFL is blank.
Tavon Austin. Because first of all, why do we keep giving this person attention? That's what it is. With Kim Kardashian, stop giving them attention and maybe they'll go away. Tavon Austin, I don't understand why people want to think that he's anything more. Like, he's not even that good looking, just like Kim Kardashian. Not even that good looking. Like, get over it. Move on. Stop giving them attention and maybe they'll stop bugging us and torturing us. And that's what Tavon Austin does. He shows up for 3 or 4 games and then he tortures you the rest of the season with 1 or 2 points and you're pissed off he used them. I never understood the appeal of Tavon Austin. I never understood the appeal of any Kardashian.
So that was my follow-up question. Which Kardashian, then, do you find most attractive, Jake?
What are the other ones? The Jenner ones? Maybe one of the, I don't know. I don't care. I couldn't care less.
Okay, quickly then. Which quarterback has better fantasy week than Matt Ryan?
I'm going to say 10 quarterbacks are going to have a better week than Matt Ryan this week. He's been great so far. This is the 2 tests coming up, Denver and Seattle. Now we get to see the real Matt Ryan, and I know that Julio Jones is pretty much matchup proof in his own right, but I don't know that I necessarily see him putting top 10 numbers up this week. This is worth the real test. Denver Broncos stuff everybody in the passing game. 250 yards and 2 touchdowns isn't a bad day, but that's probably not going to get him inside the top 10. So Aaron Rodgers is out there, Phillip Rivers. There's a lot of quarterbacks, but I say at least 10 names out there that are going to do better than him this week.
I would say for sure Brady, for sure Carr as well. And then quickly, we have about 15 seconds. Which coach gets fired first?
I think it's going to be Chuck Pagano with the Colts. There's no excuse at this point.
I think it's going to be Sean Payton. Hot take. Really?
That's another good one. I can see Gus Bradley, too. It'd be Rex Ryan, but I think they'll do it at the end of the season because everybody loves him, too.
Bye,
he's
Dave.
Another Kardashian.
See ya.